Okay, we're having our Wednesday evening Bible study as we continue our study of Daniel. Tonight we are in chapter 4 of Daniel. This is taking place, many years have passed between chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. Daniel is over 50 years old by this time, and Nebuchadnezzar is more than likely in his 70s when this story takes place. So, verse 1. He says, I, King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. Now, well, I'll go ahead and do it too also. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. So what we have here is Nebuchadnezzar's testimony, one of the oldest testimonies in the Bible. He's actually saying what God did for him. And many scholars believe, and I think you'll probably agree with them, that by the time we get to the end of this chapter, Nebuchadnezzar did learn to follow God. He became a believer all the way of God. So let's see how this happened. Verse 3. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. Now notice that here's this ruler who was the ruler of the largest empire in the world at the time. Everything that he said became reality, basically. He said, do it, and they did it. He said, jump, they said, how high, okay? And he was the kind of guy, if you aggravated him, off with your head or whatever. And he had total authority. And he thought very highly of himself. And here he is in his testimony saying how mighty his wonders, which is totally different from the personality that he had before, to say something like that about anybody else besides himself. What a difference. So verse 4. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. Okay. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. Now, you know, they say that history repeats itself, and you would think that after what he went through the first time when he had the dream about the statue, and the wise men, they couldn't do anything at all, and he had to bring in Daniel. Well, here he is consulting those same wise men again. I have a note here that says, will he ever learn? You know, will he ever learn? And this made me think, and this is getting a little bit political, but Dr. Anthony Fauci, if you will remember, back in the 80s, they had, when AIDS broke out among the homosexual community, doctors were trying to help them, and they came up with a medicine that was very helpful and was helping to get rid of this AIDS virus, or at least make it so they could deal with it. Anthony Fauci intentionally suppressed that. And then he told them they had to take another one that turned out to be toxic. And many, many of them died. And the leaders of the gay community back in that day just went ballistic on it. And they had a lot to say about that. And Fauci got a lot of negative publicity. And he finally went back and reversed his policy. That is when he should have been fired. That is when he should have been probably arrested for what he did. But we didn't do that. So what does he do with COVID? Exactly the same thing. And where the historians were and where the staff was is supposed to consult with the political leaders and say, hey, this guy's got a track record. He's doing the same thing he did. When he suppressed hydroxychloroquine, and then later on when he suppressed ivermectin, and then he promoted remdesivir, which was killing people's kidneys. We have no idea how many people died of remdesivir poisoning instead of COVID. I mean, it was that bad of stuff. And yet, he got away with it, you know. And when you come out and you say that a medicine can kill you, can cause a heart attack, that's been used for 65 years, like hydroxychloroquine was, and had a tremendous safety record. And you have people on the news coming out and say, oh, don't take that. It'll hurt your heart. That's basically murder when you do that, because you are telling them you can't take something that's going to help you, that's going to, you know, cure you. And that's what happened in this country. People, they actually did that so that they could bring out the vaccine and make billions and billions and billions of dollars. Because they couldn't have done that unless it's an emergency. And if you can treat it, it's not an emergency. So they had to do away with all the possible treatments so they could bring it out. And that's what they did. So history repeated itself. And that's what happened. So here's Nebuchadnezzar doing the same thing he did, you know, 40 years before. Doing exactly the same thing. Going back to these wise men and talking to them. They couldn't help him before. And guess what? They can't help him again. Here he is, 4:7. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, and that's just four different names for different, what they called the wise men, the people that, you know, use spells and all that kind of stuff. I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Now, what's different this time than the last time?
Daniel. He told them the dream.
He told them the dream. That's right. Last time he says, I'm not going to tell you. You know, you're going to have to tell me what I dream. Mm-hmm. No, we can't do that. This time he does tell them. He does tell them. Verse 8. Finally, Daniel came into my presence and I told him the dream. He's called Belteshazzar after. Now, look, get this. After the name of my God and the spirit of holy gods is in him. So at this point in time in his testimony, he has a lot of respect for Daniel. He knows about Daniel's God, but he thinks of Daniel's God in little g form. He doesn't think of him at this time as being the Most High God, but he does recognize that the spirit of the holy gods is in him. In other words, he recognizes that there's something powerful. Actually, it was the Holy Spirit that was in Daniel. Okay, so verse 9. He says, I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. Another thing I want to mention here is that Daniel's Belteshazzar, that was his Babylonian name. Remember in the first chapter, we talked about that, how he had the Babylonian name and they changed the names of his three friends because they were trying to get them assimilated into their culture and to think like Babylonians instead of the Hebrews. And you know, it didn't work because they couldn't get them to renounce their religion. They didn't eat the same way. You know, these four men kept their identities. But he still wants to call him that because he's the king of Babylon. Okay. Also, it shows that he believes in Daniel. And it shows he does have respect for Daniel. Okay, verse 10. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. Okay, let me find that. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. Okay, so what we see in these last three verses is simply a description of this large tree. Verse 13, in the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. Now, probably was an angel. Some people say it might have been Jesus himself or another heavenly being. More than likely, it was an angel because messenger, the definition of an angel is a messenger. And so more than likely, that's what it was. To say it's anything else, you're just guessing. Okay. Verse 14, he called in a loud voice, cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. Okay, notice that, well, let me go to 15. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. So in verse 14, it was an it, the tree, it. Now in verse 15, switches to him. So it becomes personal. And we're gonna find out why. Verse 16. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal till seven times pass for him. And so we find out here that he, Nebuchadnezzar, represents that tree. And so he goes from an it to a him. And then this word times, which talks about the different times. I want to read from this book here what it talks about times. And some of you who've studied Revelation, you'll understand this. He said it's very important to remember that seven times means 7 years. From that, we calculate that one time equals 1 year. Also, that one half time equals one half year. And also, the dividing of a time equals the dividing of a year or one half year. And last of all, that times equals 2 years. It's important to remember this because it explains other major verses in the Bible. He, the Antichrist, will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. So you've got 1 year, 2 years, and then half of another year. 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And then there's another verse. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and a half time out of the serpent's reach, which will be the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So he's explaining what that means. And so we're using the same symbolism here. One time means 1 year. So seven times will be seven full years involved here. Okay, 17. The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. So he's saying, whatever ability you have, whatever authority you have, I gave it to you. And when you start thinking that you did it, you're in trouble. Okay? So verse 18. This is a dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me. But you can, because the Spirit of the Holy Gods is in you. Again, he recognizes the Holy Spirit. So here we go, verse 19. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. In other words, he had bad news, and he didn't want to tell him. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was someone you didn't bring bad news to. But he liked Daniel, so he's saying, hey, Daniel, only he called him Belteshazzar, he says, it's okay, you know, I can see your alarm, tell me what it is, you know. He can tell there's something bothering him. He doesn't want to tell him what it means. So in verse 20, he says, well, the tree you saw, which grew large and strong with its top touching the sky and visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air. He's just describing the tree. You, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. You, O king, here we go, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump, bound with iron and bronze, in the grass of the field, while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass by for him. So he's telling him the interpretation. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, now watch this, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. And so Daniel is saying, this is a warning. If you straighten up, maybe these things won't have to happen. Remember in the Garden of Eden, what God told Cain? He says, basically, you know what to do. You know what to do. Basically, he was giving him a second chance, and Cain, you know, he didn't want anything to do with it. But God was saying, I'm giving you an opportunity to do what's right, you know. And there have been times when people did repent, people did change, and God withheld judgment. Think of Nineveh. You know, when Jonah went to Nineveh, they were going to be destroyed. They repented, sackcloth and ashes and all that, and he did not destroy them. So he's telling him this. Then in verse 28, it's kind of a strange verse. It says, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. So it kind of, you think, oh, that ends the story. But then he goes back and gives you detail. So in 29, it says, 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and they did that back then. They spent a lot, like we spend time on our patios and our decks today, they would spend time, there'd be a flat place on the roof, and they would go there.
That's what David did when he got in trouble.
Yes, right. That's exactly right. So Daniel 4:30, he said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built? I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty. The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. Okay. Now, my note on that is that once this was decreed, it happened. I mean, it just happened immediately. And, you know, God's a very patient God. It's not his will that any should perish. And he holds back and he holds back and he holds back. But when the time comes, when judgment comes, it comes quickly. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. When it happens, it happens. Verse 32, you will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people, and he did eat grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. I'm not sure what kind of animal he was. I'm not sure he was any specific species, but you imagine something like a very large bird with all these weird feathers and eating like cattle. Have you ever seen these pictures of these ladies that never cut their fingernails?
Oh, I've been gross.
They come out and they curl,
yes,
under,
gross,
like that. You wonder how they ever do anything. That I can. I'm picturing that when I see this. I'm picturing that kind of thing. So he says, then at the end of that time, so after the 7 years, and this is his. Remember, he's the one telling this. It's his testimony. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raise my eyes toward heaven. And my sanity was restored. Now, I think that expression, raise my eyes toward heaven, that's when he finally gave in. Yes. That's when he finally humbled himself. That's when he finally admitted, you're greater than I am. So when he looked up to heaven, he says, then I praise the Most High. Now, he's not talking anymore about Daniel's little God, You know, he's talking about the Most High, capital letters. My translation is capital M, capital H. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? So he is acknowledging God's greatness. He's acknowledging God's sovereignty. And sovereignty is just a big fancy word meaning authority and power. And this is a big deal for him to say this, because here's a man who lived for over 70 years thinking, I'm it. You know, I'm the one. He felt like he was God probably, because everything he said, people did. So here he's acknowledging, I'm not it. This God of Daniel's is the Most High. And he's admitting that. Verse 36, at the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven. Remember what got him in trouble? He says here, I glorify the King of Heaven. But what got him in trouble was when he said back in verse 30, by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty. No sooner were those words out of his mouth than he was brought down. Here he says, exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, capital K. Because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. And what I've noticed is that sometimes, not everyone, but a lot of men and women have to be brought down low before they'll accept Christ. When things are going well, they just think they're going to live forever and everything's always going to be great. They don't need God. And some of the best places to witness to people is places where people are low, like prisons or hospitals. Someone's been brought low by an illness. You know, maybe they've been in charge of their life, and maybe they built a business, maybe they had great riches and they built themselves from the ground up. They're very proud of what they did. They think they're invincible. All of a sudden they get through a terrible disease and they're flat on their back and they can't do anything. And they realize they're not so great after all. Or someone who's in prison because of, you know, a bad lifestyle or something, and you can go to them and they're thinking, well, I've tried everything else, you know. I'm as low as I can go. And so that's when people will turn. And this is what had to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. If it hadn't happened to him, he would have never turned to God. He wouldn't have. This had to happen to him in order for him to get an understanding. Now, he was very impressed with Daniel when he was able to interpret his dream. He was very impressed with the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they didn't get singed in the fire. But he was just impressed. Oh, that's a good God. But he must have still been thinking, but I'm better. Yeah, I'm it. You know, he's good though, but I'm it. And God says, no, that's not what I want from you. I want repentance. You know, I want you to acknowledge who I am. So any questions or comments about this before we have prayer?
So we don't hear about Nebuchadnezzar anymore, do we?
I think you're right, Terry. I think, he's passed away. We get into his descendants, his son or grandson, mm-hmm. That is in there. And this guy wasn't even, I mean, he couldn't tie Nebuchadnezzar's shoelaces. I mean, this guy was weak and, you know, very, very corrupt, and but we'll get into that next chapter. But again, Nebuchadnezzar was a great man relative to other men, and he had the authority. He was capable. He had him build the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, which is one of the seven wonders of the world. He accomplished great things. It's true, but still, he refused to acknowledge God. He refused to acknowledge God's sovereignty. You know. And he paid for it. Now, somehow, God arranged it, perhaps through Daniel, they kept his kingdom for him for 7 years. His kingdom didn't collapse. You know, and that's the other thing he probably realized too. I'm not indispensable. You know, some people, they work at a factory or something, or work at a some kind of business. Boy, if the day I leave, this place is going to close down. Well, the day I left Sporn Plant, it was still there the next day. Amazingly. But there's a lot of people that feel that way. You know, I'm just indispensable. Well, here's the king who was out for 7 years and came back, and kingdom was still there. So
you think he accepted the Lord?
I do. And the authors of this book also think the same thing. Took a while, you know, but I think he finally acknowledged it. And of course, when he passed away, as we believe, he would have gone to paradise, right? So, okay, let's pray then. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for this lesson. There's so much here for us to learn. And that's the reason we study these things, dear Lord, so that we can get a better understanding of what happened and we can apply that to our own lives. We can understand that when some people are brought very low, that's a really good time, a ripe time to talk to them about you and to bring them the living hope that is in Jesus Christ. And we pray that as Christians, we can take advantage of this knowledge and be able to be more educated so that we can go fishing, dear Lord, like you want us to go fishing. Different people come to you because of different circumstances. And just like using different bait for fish, dear Lord, we have to learn how to approach people. And we can use these lessons that we learn, I think, to become better Christians for you. In Jesus' name, amen.